Joshua chapter 1 tonight, verse 1, the Lord says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Look back at chapter 1, verse 1, 1 for 8, near the end of the verse, where it says, "The Lord spake unto Joshua." The Lord spake unto Joshua. You know, the Lord can speak to us tonight. We're not going to hear Him audibly, but we have His Word, the living Word of God, that He can speak to us tonight. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear from God tonight. I come tonight with a heavy heart. A lot of prayer requests lifted up that, I don't know about you, but they touch my heart. I've never lost a child. I can't imagine what it is to lose a child. I can't imagine what it is to have my wife in the hospital bed, worried. I need to be in prayer tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know tonight is Wednesday night, Bible study, prayer time. And as we've already been in the mode of prayer, Lord, where so many requests mentioned tonight, that so many needs, dear Lord, we're a needy people. I know we all have very many unspoken requests that we don't even mention, dear Lord, but there's things closest and dearest to our hearts that we're praying for. And Heavenly Father, we pray for Miss Ennis tonight, dear Lord. We lift her up to You. We give her to You, Lord. Pray for Pastor Ennis, dear Lord. He undoubtedly is worried and anxious, dear Lord, and thereby his wife's side where he should be. Pray for Angela and Timothy and Douglas and Andrew and Candace, dear Lord. Pray for that family, Lord, that You would put Your arms around them, be with them, give the doctors wisdom tonight. All the requests that were made known here tonight, Brother Dan in the hospital, we praise the Lord that he was diagnosed and that they can now start treating. Brother Tyson and Lisa there with Saxton, dear Lord, and we pray for him. And all the other requests, Lord, none are least important. All are very important to us. And I pray that You'd help us to recall those through the week. But now, Lord, as we open the Word of God, I pray that You would bless Your Word. For it's nothing I can say to encourage us and to lift our spirits. It's only the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God that can do that. And I pray that You would use this Word, Your Word, to speak to our hearts tonight, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and ask it. Amen. The Lord spake unto Joshua. In this portion of Scripture, Moses has passed on. We saw that in the end of the book of Exodus. Now in the book of Joshua, is Moses has gone from the scene, and now Joshua is the new leader. But you have to wonder, how does God choose a leader? How does God choose a person to lead His people? How does God choose to use a person, not just a leader, but how does God choose a person to use for His honor and glory? Well, they must be a servant. They must first know Him. And then they must live their life pleasing Him and be obedient to Him and be a servant to others. And Joshua's life, it exemplifies being a servant. We're first introduced to Joshua in Exodus, chapter number 17, if you want to turn there. They have been out of the land of Egypt now for a couple months. We looked at this just a few Sunday nights ago. And they had complained and bickered and mocked God and mocked God's man. And it comes to chapter 17 and verse 8. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." At verse 9, "And Moses said unto Joshua," is one of the first mentions of the name Joshua. We're introduced to him here. And he's doing, what is he doing? He's going out and fighting the battle for the Israelites. While Moses is up on the hill and Aaron and Ur lifting up his hands, Joshua is out leading the battle against the Amalekites and against Amalek and Amalek. And Amalek is a type in the Word of God of the flesh. So they've just gotten a victory, and here comes the flesh raising its ugly head, and the child of God must battle the flesh. So that's where we're introduced to Joshua here in chapter 17. Now let's read on in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Every place that goes on in verse 3, God has spoken to Joshua now and tells him that he is his chosen man to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. In verse 3 it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, and that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So everything that was promised through God to Moses to the children of Israel is now through God, from God to Joshua to the children of Israel. He is to carry on where Moses had to pass off the scene. And his time had ended on the planet Earth until he came back in the Mount of Transfiguration. So he's promising this land. It says in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. What a promise. And that promise is with us too. Hasn't God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? He never left Moses, he never left Joshua, and he'll never leave his children. He knows our concerns. He knows our needs. He knows what is foremost in our minds and in our prayers. Notice what he says. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong. That implies that at times Joshua wasn't strong. And at times we are not strong. But he says, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. He says it again. Do we need to be re-encouraged? Be strong. Be afraid not. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Here's Joshua, the leader of the children of Israel. And God tells him, be strong. Be strong. And very courageous, he says in verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God is commanding here and carrying on the commandment to Moses now to Joshua. It says, you are now my man. You are going to lead my people. You are going to take them into the promised land. But first, be strong, be courageous, be strong, be very courageous. Continue the commandments that I have taught Moses and he has taught you, says in verse 7, so that your way may be prosperous. Goes on to say in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Know the trait of a good servant of the Lord, a good person to God to use is he knows the Word of God. He's in it day and night. He's in it meditating on it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. For the third time, God says, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Do you think God knows what's coming in the next days and in the battles to come and thinking of Jericho and thinking especially at Gilgal and thinking of Jericho and thinking of the battle of Ai and thinking of all the southern battles and the northern battles? And God says, be strong, Joshua. Be courageous, Joshua, for you're going to lead my people. I'm going to use you. And then he says, be not afraid. That implies that he was afraid. He had fear. It's a fearful thing to be used of God. Step out by faith and let him use you. You're going to learn to trust him. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't be surprised at what I do. Don't be perplexed by situations. Don't be dismayed because I am with you. Remember what he said over here in verse 5? I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He constantly says, be strong. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, Joshua. Whatever you face, Joshua, I'm there. And he's saying today to Christians today, be not afraid, be not dismayed, be of good courage, be strong in the Lord, for I'm with you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. I'm with you always, through the good times, through the bad times. I am with you, God says. When those times that we just don't understand, God is right there with us. And that's who we need to lean on. For this arm of flesh is weak. This mind can wander and is weak. I must trust in the Lord and be strong in the Lord. Be courageous in the Lord. Be not afraid and go in the Lord's power and His strength. And trust the Lord. It goes on to say through the latter part of this chapter, verses 10 through 18, he's commanding him to prepare to cross over the Jordan River. And God's going to do a miracle, just as he did for Moses, he's going to do for Joshua. They're going to cross the Jordan River on dry ground so that God's people can see that God is with Joshua just like he was with Moses. This is God's man for the hour. God's command comes in verse 10. It says, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. The deliverance from a wilderness experience and all the problems they seem to have had in the wilderness were really not problems. They were tests. These tests were to increase their faith for this journey into the promised land now. It says the deliverance from the wilderness experience of defeat into experience now of victory. They're getting ready to inherit the promised land. Even though they must go through warfare and conflict to get it. And anything worth fighting for, you'll appreciate on the other side. Anything you have to work for, you're going to appreciate all the more. If it's just given to you, you're not going to appreciate it as much. And God wanted His people to know, I am with you. I know there's going to be tough times. I know there's going to be difficult days. I know you're going to have to lean on me and you're going to have to be strengthened by me and you're going to have to depend on me and you're going to have to go in my power and you're going to have to go in my strength. And I know you're going to be afraid. And I know you're going to be perplexed and you're going to be dismayed. But trust in me because I'm with you. And this is my promise that I have given this land to you and your children. God will not break His promise. If we look at the life of Joshua, he was a man that God greatly used for this time in history to lead God's people into the promised land and to take the promised land. Yes, he had difficulties. Yes, he had problems. He is human. Do we find ourselves, if we think about God using us for any type of His service, be it teaching a Sunday school class, be it driving a church bus, be it washing a bus, be it picking up a piece of litter in the yard, whatever it is God wants us to do to serve Him, do you ever find yourself saying, I'm not sure about this. How can God use me? Why would God want to use me? You ever found yourself saying, how can I be the Christian that I know I should be? If we look at Joshua's life, he had some of the same problems. So we ask ourselves, what type of person does God choose to lead others into a victory in the name of God? Joshua is told often, be strong and be of good courage. We also understand that he was troubled and afraid, for God told him not to be dismayed, not to be afraid. There is not one of us capable of being consistently strong and consistently courageous to do God's work on our own. We'll fail. We'll fall on our face. We'll mess it up. But if we go in God's strength and in God's courage and in God's power, then God will get the victory, not us. If we noticed again and again as we've seen this, telling Joshua to be strong and be courageous, not just once, but over three times just in this chapter, God perfects His strength in our weakness. When we finally come to God and say, I can't. I'm just not strong enough. I'm not courageous enough. I'm not brave enough. I don't have enough wisdom to do this. I don't have the knowledge to do this. That's when God moves in and says, it's about time you said that. It's about time you learned that. Now let me work through you. So that's what it's all about. You know, God humbles us at times. He breaks us at times. He empties us at times so that He can receive the honor and the glory, and we won't take credit for the victories. Joshua was Moses' minister, it says in verse 1. He was Moses' minister. He ministered unto Moses. He was Moses' right arm. What do you need, Moses? I'm right here. You see him throughout the book of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He's right there at Moses' side. What can I do for you, Moses? I'm here, Moses. Even when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, Joshua goes halfway up. He went back and looked at that. Aaron's down in the camp. And you know the sin that happened in the camp while Moses is up Mount Sinai. Joshua's halfway up the mountain, praying still. This minister, Joshua, he is one who is prepared. Moses has made sure he knows what he needs to know. It's prepared. It says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Moses taught Joshua. How many of us have a place of service in the Lord's work and we're training another person? How many of us are bringing the next generation along? If we took a survey of our Sunday school teachers and workers in our church today, how many of them are in the 20s? Not many. We need to be training the next generation. We need to be bringing them along and saying, this is the Lord's work. Do this in the Lord's way. Do it through the Lord's strength and the Lord's power. You're going to be perplexed. You're going to be dismayed. You're going to be afraid at times. Well, that's good. But that's when God can move in and work. And when you have success, I remember the first time I ever led a person to the Lord, I was so excited. It was actually three people in one house, and it was just an amazing occurrence. But I ran down the street to find my pastor to tell him what had happened, and I didn't find him first. I found my pastor's wife, and she was driving down the road picking up people from door-to-door sowing. I said, I saved three people today. Boy, she put me in my place real quick. He said, you didn't save anybody. I said, oh, yes, I did. I mean, I was a baby Christian. Oh, yes, I did. No, you didn't. You didn't save anybody. Lord Jesus Christ saved them. And He just used you. That was a lesson for me. And that was a good lesson for me. To realize that God can use me. And God can use you. And He wants to use you. Are you being obedient? Are you surrendered to Him to be used? Are you trying to do things in your own strength and in your own power and your own wisdom and your own knowledge? If you find yourself in a pulpit or a lectern shaking. That's why these handles are here. It's because that's when the Lord's moved in. Because if you ever got up here and do it and you think you're just doing it yourself, boy, you're wrong. You're doing it the wrong reasons. Joshua was prepared. He was not domineering over his peers. He wanted to use his peers. He wanted to bring them along and help them. And he was a servant to others for Christ's sake. Tradition tells us that Joshua spent 40 years in Egypt in bondage. So he knew what it was to be a slave. He spent 40 years in bondage. He endured the hardness that those did in Egypt. He witnessed the frustrations. He experienced the cruelty of the taskmasters. And in the books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, it teaches us that Joshua spent 40 years in the wilderness. So we get to Joshua chapter 1, and he's about 80 years old. And God's going to use him. God wasn't done with him yet. In Numbers 13, he was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land to spy it out. And only he and Caleb came back and said, "We can do it with the Lord's help." And the other 10 like, "There's no way. We might as well go back to Egypt. Did you see what was in that land?" So they're looking at it through their own eyes and through their own strength and through their own courage, or lack thereof. And Joshua and Caleb are looking at it through the Lord's eyes and say, "God's with us. Let's go take it." They weren't a mighty army, but they knew with God's power they could take the land. After 80 years of faithful service, God suddenly speaks to him. God's always spoken to Moses, but Moses is dead. And now God speaks to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 1. "The Lord spake unto Joshua." "It is now your turn, Joshua. I'm going to use you. You have been prepared. You understand how to live for me. You understand how to be faithful. You know where we came from. And you know where we're going." So after 80 years of faithful service, God suddenly speaks to him and places him in a place of leadership. But it's also a place of service. Do we know what God is planning with our lives? No. We can't see the end and what He's planning out 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, or next week. But are you remaining faithful through what God has given you to do? For He has all given us all something to do right now. Are you being faithful to do what He has given you to do right now? And are you doing it through His strength? And His wisdom and His knowledge. We might think that we're worthy of something bigger and more prestigious. Our place of service seems so inadequate and so unworthy of our talents. But God is using every experience to form and to shape you and to me and who He wants to be. For He already knows where He's going to place us and what He's going to do with us in our lives. But we're looking, this little place, you know, the song "Little as Much" when God's in it. If God has placed you somewhere, serve God with all your abilities that He has given you. But then do it through His strength and His knowledge and His wisdom. He's saying, when you're in this place of service, are you going to remain faithful? Are you going to remain faithful? Be strong. Be courageous. Be not afraid. Be strong. Be very courageous. Be not afraid. For I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It says, He said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I'm with you whithersoever thou goest. If we remain faithful at the small tasks that God gives us, one day He may trust us with bigger tasks. You think of Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And you think of the wilderness journey and all the difficulties they seemed to have. And God was using that to strengthen them. Can I share something with you out of that? I go to Exodus a lot. The Lord is really dealing with me in the book of Exodus. Chapter 19. Can I give you the meaning of life? Anybody like to know the meaning of life? It's in the Word of God. Did you know that? The meaning of life is in the Word of God. A preacher taught me this years ago. In Exodus 19, verses 1 through 4, it says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt," they've only been gone from Egypt 2 months, for they left on the first month, and now here it is the third month. They've been gone 2 months. "In the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." Verse 4 is the meaning of life. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." The meaning of life is God is not bringing you to a place. God is not bringing you or taking you to a position. God is bringing you to Himself. The object of the wilderness journey was not to bring the children of Israel to the promised land. The object of the wilderness journey, and we're on a wilderness journey today, and the object of the wilderness journey that we're on is to bring God's people to Himself. That's what it says in the Bible. He brought you unto myself. Look over Deuteronomy 33. I can't leave you hanging. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. The Word of God says, "The eternal God is thy refuge." He's bringing me to Himself to be my refuge. "And underneath are the everlasting arms." God wants to use you. God wants to use me in His service, but we're too scared. We're too perplexed. We don't want to do it. We say we're not strong enough. We're not courageous enough. And He says, "You're right. I am." So you have to be brought to Him to see your weakness, so that He can get the victory. And He says, "I will bring you to myself." And He says in 27, verse 27 of Deuteronomy 33, "The eternal God is thy refuge." He is our protector. He is our comforter. He is our everlasting arms. If you ever need Jesus, just cozy up to Him, for He's right there. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Whithersoever thou goest, He is there. And He is bringing you to Himself. One last verse is over in John chapter 10. Most of us know this verse by heart. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, the Word of God says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never. Never perish. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'm in the hands of God tonight. I have pain. I have concerns. I have heartbreak. But I'm in the hands of God. And He has brought me to Himself to know that I can't do it alone. I can't even do it. It's through Him that I can serve the Lord. It is through His strength and mercy that He even allows me to be servant to Him. In Joshua 1:9, the Word of God said, "Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Wherever you go, the Lord is with you, and He's bringing you to Himself. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. Our hearts are still heavy. We're still in a mode of prayer tonight, lifting up our loved ones. And Lord, we know You're drawing us to Yourself. If we're saved tonight, if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior tonight, we know You're our refuge. We know we're in the arms of the everlasting God. You're our comfort. You're our sword. You're our shield. You're our buckler. You're our rock. We can't do this life. We can't live this Christian life without You. Draw us to Yourself. Open our eyes and let us see what we're doing in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own abilities, and help us to give them all to You. And then just be a vessel that You can fill and use for Your honor and glory. Be with our pastor and Miss Ennis tonight. Comfort them. Be with these requests that were made known tonight, Lord. Still our hearts. Encourage our hearts and know that whatever we go through, You're right there with us. And You're drawing us unto Yourself. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.